It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Now we're going to travel far from Iowa. My next guest is Claudia McGehee. She's an award-winning author and illustrator of natural history picture books. She lives in Iowa City, and her most recent book is My Wilderness, an Alaskan Adventure. Hello, Claudia.
Nice to be here, Charity.
Oh, thank you so much for coming in today. And now this story is a fairly obscure story. This is a nonfiction book. Tell me what the story is about.
It's based on nonfiction, but I was in Chicago and about 10 years ago, and I saw an exhibit of a man named Rockwell Kent. And he was an artist that worked primarily in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And this exhibit had some paintings of his, and one of them caught my eye. It was of a beautiful Alaska wilderness with this bright, crisp September morning in the background, a rustic cabin, and a father and son identified as such in the foreground, kind of in a half hug. And I thought there had to be a story behind it. So I did some research, and indeed it was Rockwell Kent's autobiographical story about going to Fox Island in 1918 with his son, Rocky, who was then 9 at the time. And I started to research, and that's how the story came to be.
So the father and son went to Fox Island, as you mentioned, and Fox Island is very remote.
It is. It's about 13 miles from Seward. So if you go to Seward, Alaska, which is a fairly good-sized town, you can see Fox Island in the distance. But it's over some pretty treacherous waters, so it does feel more remote.
Right, about 12 or 13 miles from shore.
Correct.
And they spent the winter there?
They
that
did.
That doesn't sound like my first choice for a time to visit. But
they took a train from New York and then took a ferry up from Seattle, and they arrived in late August. And in Alaska, about that time, it's starting to become fall and chillier. It was just the time frame was just that Rockwell Kent had the opportunity to go there. But it was winter, and they spent all winter there until the March of 1919 on this little island.
Now, in the beginning of the book, you introduce not just the idea of this trip, but an idea that at this time, adventures could happen to children in ways that maybe adventures can't happen to children now.
Right. I do think that risk is measured differently than, you know, now than it was then. And I think we all have parents and grandparents who talk about walking miles to school in blizzards and things, or doing, you know, things that we would never let our kids do anymore. You know, we take our precious bundles from here and there and their, you know, cars, and never think about letting them explore an island where there may be bears or whatever all by themselves. But so, yeah, I think it was a different time then.
Yeah. What was it about this story that captured your imagination?
I think it was that Rockwell Kent took his son to the wilderness. And all three of them had to the wilderness, and I think of the wilderness as a character in a way, and they all had different relationships. And yes, it was a time where there were no cell phones, no connections, so they were able to forge this connection in ways that we couldn't now. And I was a little jealous of what
I wondered if maybe it was a little bit of a fantasy for you.
Absolutely. On lots of different aspects and levels. As the artist, I think that solitude is really important to make art. Maybe not this much solitude, but still, it is, like you say, a fantasy in a way. As a parent, I mean, I love introducing our daughter Lucy to new places in nature. And even the child in me, the Rocky in me, you know, if I was a little 9-year-old, just being able to explore like that. So all three of those things talk to me in this story.
Now, the book is also very beautiful. I mean, you researched this story, you wrote this story, you also did all the artwork for the story. And I mean, the pictures are incredibly vibrant. Can you describe the kind of artwork you do?
I do scratchboard. A scratchboard is a thin board that has a white clay surface covered with India ink, and I take a very sharp X-Acto knife. After I trace down guidelines for the story, I then scratch off what I want white or colored and leave what I want black.
Okay, so you're almost drawing a picture in reverse.
Exactly. It's like subtractive drawing in a way, although it looks like a print at the end, but it has nothing to do with printmaking.
How long have you been doing this kind of artwork?
Let's see. We've lived in Iowa for 20 plus years. So for about 20 years, I discovered scratchboard in art school, and I've just really never looked back. It kind of is my niche.
What about it?
It's kind of organic looking. I got a rusty old degree in anthropology, and I did archaeology as an undergrad. And I think there's an element of digging that I really like in life. I love to be in the garden, and, you know, I like to dig through, you know, for research. And this scratchboard has a similar kind of satisfying feeling and process about it.
Now, you have some scratchboard in front of you.
I do.
You have an X-Acto knife in your hand. And I would love to hear what it sounds like to draw on this. Okay. So you're just... How much pressure do you have to put on? Is it harder than writing?
It is. It's about the same. And it's certainly over 22 years, I've got the strongest wrist in town, probably. But... It's the same kind of angle as you would, and pressure as you would writing, or using your keyboard or whatever. But for me, it's kind of little teeny strokes that make up the one. You can get very, very detailed if you want, or also be kind of painterly in a way too.
Well, so. And the pictures in the book, I mean, there's a lot of black and white, but they're. Is a lot of color in the imagery as well. How do you add the color in?
The scratchboard is the black and white. After I finish a scratchboard, it becomes the black and white line work. And I take it to my scanner, scan it into Photoshop, kind of clean up places that I think need some work. And then I print it onto watercolor paper. So it would be like a coloring book page. So it's all black and white work. On watercolor paper, and then I take that back and watercolor traditionally onto the black and white piece. So it's a little bit of old school, new school in a way.
How long does it take you to complete one scratchboard / painting?
I do it in chunks. I usually do all the scratchboard one day. So a larger, like an 8.5 by 11 scratchboard, usually takes from 9 in the morning when everybody's out of the house till about 5 or 6 when everybody comes back to the house. My studio is in the lower level of our house, so I can time it that way. The painting's much faster. The painting can be a couple hours or so.
The scratchboard seems like it would be very unforgiving if you make a mistake. Is that the case?
It is. I mean, you can whip off a nose on a face pretty quickly. So, but in the days of yore, when there was no Photoshop, it was much more of a bigger deal. And nowadays, I can usually replace it.
Oh.
If I have a serious mistake, I can always put it back on in Photoshop. So, but I try and make my originals as pristine as they can be and try and get... the feeling that I want on the scratchboard, on the original piece, before I go into Photoshop.
Now, this is your latest book, but all of your books have really focused on nature.
Yes.
What are you hoping to convey with your books? How do you want to engage with kids?
I want them to see the details of nature. I just want them to get down on their knees and look at what's in front of them. And I do have a worry about this age and all the fun gadgets that we have. And kids, as studies have shown, they're not getting out as much as they did at one point. So I'm hoping that my books, if they get into their hands, are one way that they can look and then go outside and see and make that connection. I think it's awfully important right now. And I love I've always loved, even as a child, loved to see the details in illustrations. So that's what I still do in my own work.
Do you think about the reader when you're writing? Do you have an approach that you hope will engage that child?
Well, I think a good writer or illustrator has to have first a personal connection with what they're writing or what they're illustrating or reporting on. And if it resonates with the creator, then I think it's going to naturally resonate with the reader than the child. That's what I think. I don't draw a bunny and go, oh, this is great. You know, a kid is going to love this cute bunny. I usually draw something. And if it comes from my heart, then it's going to connect.
Do you find yourself visiting a lot of schools and reading your books to groups of children?
I did more with the earlier books from the UI Press. The alphabet book and the counting book seemed to be a natural fit with elementary school kids, for sure. And there's not a lot of text in the ABC book or the counting book, but I did write the back matter in the back, but I built around a school program that worked in environmental topics as well as illustrative topics. So,
well, I'm always surprised when there's a children's book that I know well and I love, and then I read it to either my kids or other kids. I'm always surprised by the things that they key in on. So I was wondering if there were any things that you've learned about your books from reading them with kids.
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, a lot of the questions I get after the program happens are weird ones, like they'll mention that I don't look like I do in the book or something, you know, the author's picture. or if I share that illustration is everywhere, even on the box of the cereal that you had in the morning, kids will come up and say, oh, yeah, I noticed that cereal box illustration, too. And so it's kind of odd things. And I just hope that when they go home, maybe they're – and they do. I've had kids come up and say, or parents at least said, that my daughter wanted to dress up like a prairie skink because she saw it in your book. And that's the kind of story that I love to hear.
Now, in wanting to share nature with kids, you're sharing these images that you're creating. And I wonder why or what you think a child can get out of seeing an illustration of say, a great blue heron in a pond with cattails, as opposed to seeing a photograph.
It's just another window, I think. I mean, you can get certainly from great field guides, a picture of a heron is going to tell them one thing. But I can show the heron just about to eat a frog in a way that, you know, maybe they wouldn't see in a photograph. Or the publisher would not choose to put in or something. I don't know. That's another good question. It's for me, the same way, seeing a painting versus a photograph, you know it's done by somebody else's hand. And I know kids maybe aren't thinking that, but I know that it is. And maybe they do pick up on that.
Now, you are originally from the Pacific Northwest. Your earlier books all focused very much on Iowa nature. So I wonder, obviously, we're not known for mountains and ocean and, you know, all of the things that the Pacific Northwest is known for. We have a more subtle landscape. Did you have any challenges about approaching this landscape as an artist?
The Alaska landscape?
No, the Iowa landscape.
Oh, the Iowa landscape. Well, I embraced it right away. I do remember when we moved here, seeing my first cardinal the first winter we were here and feeling very welcomed by it and embracing the new. And no, I love to exercise my eyes on the horizon of the prairie, which is absent in the Northwest in a way, a horizon that goes on forever. So I really did feel at home right away and could come up with images right away that told about my new home.
And this book takes you back in some ways closer to where you came from. Did you travel to Fox Island?
I did. I did at the end of finishing up the artwork for this book. I was able to go back, and I was a little nervous about what I would see, wondering if I had got it right for my research. I grew up in Washington State, and the coast of Washington is fairly rugged and somewhat similar to the southeast of Alaska where Fox Island is. So I was confident that I had gotten a lot of the little details right. But I was really glad to go to Fox Island and just step on the beach that I knew the Kents had been on. And it hadn't really changed all that much. I mean, it hasn't at all, really.
Wow.
So
is there a new story that's percolating in your mind that has captured your imagination?
Well, right now I'm very busy with a couple other stories that were written by other people, and very lovely, though. I'm just finishing up one for the Minnesota Historical Society Press on the North Woods, and it's taking me back to the Midwest, at least, not exactly the prairie, but I get to illustrate the North Woods, Upper Minnesota area. And it's another nice connection, multi-generational connection with nature, nature being another figure, another character.
This book is a little more story-driven than some of the other books you've done. You mentioned the alphabet book, the counting book.
Right.
Was that fun for you to dig into a story?
That's what I want to do, really. I mean, it's not what I want to do, but it was a narrative story does give you more of a personal connection with the characters that you're illustrating.
Well, Claudia McGeehee, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Claudia McGeehee, her latest book is called My Wilderness, an Alaskan Adventure. She is the writer and the illustrator, and she has a launch party coming up for the book, coming up on Saturday, March 28th at 4 p.m. at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We have an open house this afternoon in Ames at Ryman Gardens beginning this afternoon at 4:30. So please come visit us this afternoon. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.